All right, let's jump right into our message here today. I'm really excited about this. We've been looking at the different Psalms. Last week, Alex did a really great job talking to us about the Psalm where David, you know, finds himself running from his son, Absalom. You know what I learned from that? And I really appreciated this. Alex taught me that, you know, all the time, I'd always thought that Psalm was about, you know, how we could be like David. How we could be in the wilderness and in tough situations and that we could still trust in God. But you know what? I learned last week that a lot of times I'm like Absalom. You know, I'm the one that's trying to usurp the power of the king and to take over. And what a great sermon and he shared with us last week. Today I'm going to be looking at a psalm of thanksgiving or a psalm of praise. You know, thanksgiving and praise is a subject matter that's all through the Psalms. Matter of fact, you go back to Psalm 30, verse 11, it says, "You have turned my mourning into joyful dancing." Psalm 32, verse 11 says, "So rejoice in the Lord and be glad, all you who obey Him. Shout for joy, all you whose hearts are pure." You know, this is actually the psalm that I did the devotional on this past week that's up on our app. If you have our app, every Thursday we're putting up a new devotional on there that kind of goes along with the subject matter, Summer in the Psalms. This past week, I talked about this particular psalm. You know, Psalm 32, it's a psalm where it's talking about David's sin with Bathsheba. And it's so interesting because you think about a psalm of thanksgiving, a psalm of praise, because Psalm 32 is all about the great and egregious sin that David committed. But yet he could be happy and joyful because he'd been forgiven by God. Psalm of thanksgiving. It's all through the Psalms. We have in Psalm 34, verse 1, "I will praise the Lord at all times. I will constantly speak His praises." Psalm 75, verse 9, "But as for me, I will always proclaim what God has done. I will sing praises to the God of Jacob." Psalm 116, verse 17, "I will offer you a sacrifice of thanksgiving and call on the name of the Lord." Over and over and over again, the Psalms teach us that we should be a people of praise, that we should be a people who worship God. Think about it. The worship that we give God and the work that we do for Him must always be done with gladness. I mean, don't you always respect those people that have that kind of attitude in life? That those people that look back on tough times and trust God? That those people who today look around at all the issues and everything and yet they trust God and the uncertainty of future? That they're always praising and trusting Him. Matter of fact, with this subject matter of praise and thanksgiving to God, there's something that jumped in my mind. I'll bet that you're thinking just like this too. Here, I got a picture to show you. I know you're thinking this. We're all thinking this. Who is it that gets eaten by the lion? Right? I mean, think about it. Who is it that gets eaten by the lion? When I was a youngster, I always felt bad for the wildebeest. You know, because you saw these science films, and it was always the wildebeest, you know, that the lion would be able to get. Now, I figured out why. One was that there's a million of them. And out of that million, there was always, you know, a couple dozen that were slow and old. Right? I mean, I look around. There's some of us here. I don't think we could get away from the lion. But that's what I want to talk to you about today. Who is it that gets eaten by the lion? I remember when I was a youngster and I would see that in the wildebeest, you know, he would get separated from the herd. And I'm like, no, don't go there, right? I mean, you kind of rooted for the wildebeest. Because that's the one that the lion always got. The one that was weak. He never got the one that was out front. He never got the leader of the pack. And I think what David is telling us here is that if you are a person of thanksgiving, you're not going to be the one that's eaten by the lion. Why? Because we're out front. Because we're energetic. Because we live life with gladness and joy. Even when things get tough, we still live that way. That's exactly what this text is about here. Let me show it to you. Psalm 100, verses 1 through 5. Look what it says. He says, shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with singing, with joy. Acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Go into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever, and his faithfulness continues to each generation. We are the people of his pasture. And you know what, folks? It was never the one that stayed close to the shepherd that got eaten by the lion. You see, David is teaching us here something about thanksgiving and praise. He's teaching us here that thanksgiving and praise is what keeps us at the front. That something happens when we put our reservations aside and that we come into the Lord's presence with singing. I mean, think about that for a minute. If you feel far away from the Lord, what David would suggest is that you should sing praises to him. What? The Bible says that he inhabits what? He inhabits the praises of his people. God, it says that God seeks those who worship him in spirit and in truth, John chapter 4. Therefore, if we want to seek him, if we want him to seek us even, we need to worship him. And as you do, you'll find that you are once again aware of his presence. Think about that. What David teaches us over and over and over again in these Psalms of Thanksgiving is that even when David finds himself in an egregious sin before God, like Psalm 32, he could still talk about gladness and joy because of the forgiveness that he had with God. You see, folks, the key here is that we learn to give thanks to him. That we seek him. And that we find him in the praise of his people. Matter of fact, let me do this with you. David here teaches us, I think, a couple of truths. That if we learn these truths as he did, we will always be a people that are thankful. Always be a people of praise. What does he teach us? Well, let me give you the first one here. The first one comes in the form of a question. Does God exist for you, or do you exist for God? Think about that. David said, acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us. We are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. But sometimes I think that we live just the opposite of that. We live as if God exists for us. What we need. What we're going through. Things in life that we feel like that we have to have. You know, have you ever gone through a tough time in life and you say, why me? Why am I going through this? Why does this have to happen to me? David never did that. Why? Because he understood that God did not exist for him, that he existed for God. We have a tough time with that. Matter of fact, just a couple weeks ago at home, I was downstairs. We have a we have a basement in our home. It's real, real nice. And I was down there watching TV, and Arlene's upstairs, you know, watching something else or doing something else. And, you know, I got on my phone and I texted her. Now, come on, don't judge me. You do this too. I know. Okay? You're just as lazy as I am. And I found myself, I'm texting Arlene, you know, she's 25 feet away from me, but she's on the other floor. And I texted her and, you know, I told her that I loved her. And then I said, honey, if you happen to be coming down here in the next few minutes, I would love something to drink. I mean, sometimes we're that selfish, aren't we? I mean, sometimes I think that's exactly the way we treat God. But yet David says here that, listen, God created us. We didn't create him. That God does not exist for us, we exist for him. Matter of fact, this exact verse in the Message paraphrase says exactly that. It says, you know, that we don't exist for God, that God doesn't exist for us, we exist for him. I mean, why are we to worship him? Yes, we are to worship Him because He made us. He blesses us. There are benefits, there are blessings for us. But ultimately, it comes down to the fact that He is God, that we exist, as Revelation 4:11 says, that we exist for His pleasure. And sometimes I don't think that we know that. David learned that. Have you ever noticed that people become like what they worship? I mean, you think about people that are just huge health nuts and exercise crazy, and you know, every morning they get up and they look in the mirror, you know, without their shirt on, and you know, they take selfies of their progress in their exercise, and you know, they're just so, you know, proud of that. We become what we worship. I actually heard once that that's why a lot of people look like a donut. Right? We become like what we worship. Now you think about that, and think about that in the light of David's life. He became a man that was known for loving God. He wasn't perfect. He was a huge sinner in many ways. But his life became known for his ability to praise God and to thank God in every moment of life. Here, let me give you one more. David also learned that it really wasn't about what God had done, but who He was, or who He is. I mean, think about that in your life. Is God more about what He's done or who He is? If you ask that of David, how do you think that he would answer it? I think he would answer that it's about who He is. Although he could make a long list of things that God had done that were awesome. But even more than that, it was about knowing God, being in God's presence, being able to thank God, being able to praise God in every moment of life. The best way to enter into the Lord's presence is by thanking Him for what He has done, and also for praising Him for who He is. Because without the second one, without noticing who He is, by only thinking about what He has done, God is merely no more than Santa Claus to you, and not so much as a Savior. You see, I think what David does here is that he teaches us that praise and thanksgiving is the password to enjoying life. You know, our life is so much about passwords, right? I recently, not too long ago, I got a new phone, and I had to set up this new account, and I had to put in this new password. And listen, I've always felt that I don't want to complicate passwords. You know, my passwords were things like "I love Arlene," or my favorite one is "Wilson number one." That was my favorite one. You know, and I'd always do these passwords like this. Well, this new, you know, Apple thing, it asked me for a password, and it gave me some parameters. It had to be at least 8 characters long. It had to have a capital letter in it. It had to have a number in it. It had to have some kind of symbol in it. And it couldn't be something that I'd used before. So I was trying to put this password in, and it kept coming back, and it would say, you know, not strong enough or doesn't meet the parameters. And, you know, I'm just trying to change it and tweak it a little bit and, you know, get one that was acceptable. And finally I got one, and it said, okay, your password's been reset. I'm like, well, what is it? I'm not even sure what I typed in. I mean, have you ever done this? You know, I mean, how many of us have ever sat at a keyboard and tried to remember the password? You know, I actually have a note. I can show it to you. I have a note on my phone, and the name of that note is passwords. So they're all there if you ever need one of mine, okay? I mean, it's so difficult to remember, you know, all these different passwords, you know, bank accounts and, you know, log on information and things for your phone and things for that, you know, that that cloud thing, wherever that is, and you just, you know, just go, it's just so confusing. Well, David here, you know what he's saying? I think he's really saying, this is the bottom line. He's saying that the password to life is praise. It's thanksgiving. You know, every day if we just enter into that moment where we're just praising him and singing for joy. And you know, if you remember, if you noticed that passage a few minutes ago, let me get back over here so I don't say it wrong. He says, shout, worship, acknowledge, and enter his gates. You know, joy to the Lord, worship with gladness, sing with joy. Lord, the Lord is good. He made us. We're his sheep. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Enter his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. The Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever, and his faithfulness continues to each generation. The password is praise and thanksgiving. But a lot of times we don't do that. We forget that it's not about God's for us or what he does for us. It's about that we're his. It's not just about what he's done, but who he is. And if we learn that and realize that the password to life is praise and thanksgiving, then life can be so much better. You know, I don't know about you, but when I was a kid, you know, as I've gotten older, I've always tried to do things in a contemporary way. You know, to reach the present and the next generation. And I've always felt like that as a church here, we've always done that. You know, we've made changes to try to be more relevant for today's generation. But I will tell you, as a Christian, I miss the doxology. I mean, I remember as a kid, you know, and they would take up the offering and the guys would bring the baskets forward and we would all stand and we would all sing the doxology. And it was just a moment. And I just, you know, and I, as I look back, it was like, I'm not even sure what doxology was, but that was beautiful. And I think it was beautiful because it was as a church and as a family, we were agreeing on something that was really important. Let me teach you something here. These three words have something in common. They all come from the same root word where we get doxology, a dogma or a paradox or doxology. What is dogma? Dogma is a truth that we believe. It's a truth that we would fight for. You know, I can be dogmatic about certain things in life. What's a paradox? A paradox is kind of a why in the road, you know, where there's a couple of meanings. You know, you have jumbo shrimp. Well, what are they? Are they jumbo or are they shrimp? You know, you have a paradox. You can think of it two different ways. Or you have a doxology. You know what doxology means? Literally, it means words of truth. And you see, one person can be dogmatic. A few people can struggle with a paradox. But to have a family of God singing the doxology together, agreeing that the praise of God and that the thanksgiving of God is the key to the enjoyment of life. Let me end where I started this morning. Who usually is the one who gets eaten by the lion? I was thinking about that the other day, and I thought about David. You know, when David was a young man and they were questioning his ability to be king, he told them a story about one day when he was attacked by a lion. What did he do? He killed it. I thought of the story in the book of Judges about Samson. And it says that one day Samson was attacked by a lion. And you can read it there in Judges. It actually says that when Samson was attacked by a lion, that he ripped it apart. Think about Daniel in the lion's den. He spent the night with lions, but he was not harmed. You think about it, folks. The one that got devoured by the lions. I mean, you think about in church history, in the early part of the church, after Jesus went back to heaven, the Christians were treated very badly. And there were many of them, they were taken into the Colosseum, and they were used as what? They were used as entertainment to be eaten by a lion. You see, folks, the person that doesn't get eaten by the lion is the one that's in front. And everyone that's with him and her in front. In other words, stay energetic about your faith. Don't separate yourself from the kingdom of God and from your family of believers. Grow and exercise and become strong, and don't find yourself weak. And that is the way that we are not eaten by the lion. I love 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. You probably knew I was going there. He says, stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. You know, once when we went to Africa, we were walking in the bush, and the guy said, oh, there's some lion tracks. You know what the next thing they said was? Where's John? You see, folks, David teaches us here that if we stay alert, and if we stay out front, and we give him thanks, and we give him praise, during every situation of life, that we will enjoy life more than most, and that we will stay safe. Safe in our faith in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Truly the Lord is good. His mercy is inexhaustible and so solid and unchanging in His truth that we can pass this great truth on to our children and our grandchildren and to generations to come. Think about it. Here we are today teaching this from the life of David. Now let's go out and live it in our life as well. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, I thank you for this awesome, this wonderful, wonderful passage of Scripture, what it teaches us today. And Lord, may we learn that David remained strong, that he lived life with purpose because of the joy and the gladness and the praise and thanksgiving that were a part of his life every day. That even, Lord, in dealing with the egregious sin of his adultery with Bathsheba and all the subsequent sins that came into his life because of that, yet he found joy and gladness in you and in your forgiveness. So, Father, may that kind of praise and thanksgiving be indicative of our lives as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.